The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Does Jesus really love us? Mm. That's the question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Not does he love my neighbor or James and Betty or Pastor Rod, but does he really love me? Not even does he love the nation. Not even does he love my spouse. Does he really love me?
Next on Life Today, host of the television program Breakthrough, Rod Parsley discusses Jesus' incredible demonstration of love at the cross.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Rod Parsley with us. It is a wonderful lifetime journey that we've had together. Believe it or not, he was my driver when I used to go to Columbus, preaching citywide meetings there, and he was a teenager. And I even went out and preached at World Harvest Church when the cornfield was more predominant than the church. It was amazing that they kind of like just go out in the middle of nowhere and take over Ohio for the glory of God. And I want to say this about Rod. Betty and I love him. We love the passion that he has for God and for God's will to be done. And I want to say something that I really think is important. But first, I want you to welcome him. Would you welcome Rod Parsley to Life Today?
Thank you. Hey, Rod, thank you very much, James. Betty, thank you so much.
I want to thank you because, I mean, you preach, you try to help people, win people to Christ, train young people to be disciples of Christ. But you have also tried to awaken a sleeping church,
yes,
a nation that is really in a ditch of defeat, despair, and debt, yes, to really say to people, we have responsibility,
yes,
to try to point people in the right direction and
absolutely,
back to foundation. Do you appreciate Rod Parsley taking a stand for what matters not only in the church, but should matter to the church concerning America? I thank you.
Yes,
now, I am impressed with the book. You know, I wrote an endorsement encouraging
yes, you
people
did.
To read.
Thank you so
I want to say that this picture on the cover of the cross,
yeah,
tell me about that.
Well, James, it was a vision in my heart that I'd seen when I was in Jerusalem, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed until the capillaries in his face burst. And some folks say, was Jesus ever afraid? That was the only place that the Bible records he was ever afraid. He was not fearful of the cross, but he was fearful that the enemy would do his worst in that garden, the church asleep, and that he'd never make it out of that garden to become the supreme sacrifice on Calvary's cross, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So that is a vision of an olive tree that was in my heart. And many times, tens of thousands, of course, around Jerusalem were crucified right directly on trees. And so that's where that vision came from of that cross. I want to say thank you, James, because you are one of the very few leaders who encouraged me so strongly to not be silent any longer. And that New York Times best-selling book, Silent No More, came from that. And the effect that we attempted to have to move the nation from being silent. And I remember shouting, silent no more. Our times demand it. Our history compels it. Our future requires it, and most of all, God is watching. You're an encourager of so many, and I know those of you watching Life Today have been so encouraged by James and Betty. I thank God that we're able to shout amen and place our hand in your hand to bring America back to its moral senses again, to fix our moral compass back where it always should have been after all. Back to Jesus.
Amen.
Back to the cross.
I haven't lost hope, Rod. I know that sometimes it looks bleak and dark, but the light does shine brightest in the darkest areas.
Yes, it does.
Just let it shine. uncovered. I was impressed, Rod, with God really putting this so heavily on your heart. And, you know, your chapter titles are really provocative. They inspire us, they challenge us. At the intersection of heaven and earth is your second chapter. What are you saying?
Well, James and Betty, you know, I'm a Southern boy. I'm actually, folks think I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but my home is Eastern Kentucky, right there on the intersection of where the Tug Fork and the Levisa Fork form the Big Sandy River and then flow into the Ohio. It was there, in little clapboard white church buildings, that our pastors used to watch James Robinson on television when there were only three stations, and they would attempt to preach like him. And there I would look, Betty, at those stained glass windows, some depicting the scene of Noah and the Ark, others depicting the scene of the creation. But one thing they all had as their focal point, right in the middle of every one of them, was a cross. The cross is the intersection of heaven and earth. It's there that the furious love of God intersects our broken and our shattered hearts. It's there that the limitless provision of God intersects with our deepest and most desperate needs. I want to take you to the cross. I want to share with you the love of God. May I read just a few words,
sure,
James?
Do.
Does Jesus really love us? Mm-hmm. That's the question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Not does he love my neighbor or James and Betty or Pastor Rod, but does he really love me? Not even does he love the nation. Not even does he love my spouse. Does he really love me? It's only at the base of that rugged and cruel and biting and angry beam where the Lamb of God is suffering and sighing, crying, and we watch him die, that we begin to understand that love was never on such open display as it was that day, mm-hmm, when he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. No person has ever been as abandoned. Do you feel that way today? As alone, as God himself made darkness his pavilion and closed the blinds of heaven and turned his back and walked away from his son for one reason, so that he would never, ever have to walk away from us again. A great separation had to come at that cross between the Father and the Son, so that a unity between the Son and you could come into such power that hell itself could never separate it. Does God really love you? That's the question. May I tell you that he loves you in your fidelity and in your infidelity. He loves when you're getting it right, and he loves you when you've messed it up so desperately. He loves you. This is the unfailing and unfaltering love of our Father, expressed through the supreme gift of his Son, nailed by tempered spikes through tortured skin, into splintered wood, nailed there, with welcoming arms outstretched, announcing, do I love you? I love you. A billion times I love you. How much, you ask? And then he separated his left arm from his right and allowed those 4.5-inch spikes to be driven deep into that wood. And with every red rivulet of crimson blood that ran down his naked side and dripped off his toes into bloody pools upon the earth, he's saying to you right now, in your desperation and in your pain, to know his love. A love that doesn't demand that you get it right. A love that doesn't demand some religious performance. But a love that simply opens its arms wide and says, I love you from heaven to earth, from earth to the darkness of hell and back to earth and to heaven again. Do I love you? I love you so much that I refuse to stay in heaven without you. And so much I refuse to leave you on earth without me. Allow him to come to you now, in this moment of your darkness, and hear him say, it is finished. You know, that's a Greek word, James. Tetelestia, one word for three, it is finished. Hmm. And in the three words, we lose its meaning. It's an accounting term. It doesn't mean that something has concluded. It means something has been accomplished. A river has been crossed, a mountain climbed, a valley walked through, the darkness dissipated, a king crowned, a glory won. He is your is. Everything that you need in this moment. I'm overwhelmed, James. I feel so many pulling. Thank you for this broadcast. Hmm. Thank you for an opportunity to tell people that the cross is not about religion. Paul said, we preach Christ. To the religious traditionalist, mm-hmm. he said, Jew. To the religious traditionalist, a stumbling block. Mm-hmm. To the Greek, those cosmopolitan, trendy, and intellectual Greeks, it's foolishness. Some to come to the cross, even in our day, mm-hmm. and they look where we look with horrified wonder upon the raw ferocity of the love of God for fallen humanity. Some look, Betty, and they're offended. They want not a suffering, sighing, dying Savior, but a conquering King. He humbled himself, even to the death of the cross. So they stumble. Can I tell you today? Stop trying on your own. Just come to the cross. When Jesus comes, he comes to lift you up. And our mistake is that we reach out to try to help him lift us up. We can't do it. That nullifies everything he came to do. He said, I've come to lift you out of the bondage and out of the struggle with my own right arm. He did it. He did it on the cross. Thank God forever.
And it was actually the beginning of life.
Wasn't it?
For all who would receive it.
For everyone mm-hmm. who would open their heart to say yes to the provision there made. It is finished. I love that, you know, Jesus, we have recorded between 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Halfway through that, the darkness comes, all the jeers and the taunts and the sneers and the mockery and the blasphemy that was going on at the base of that cross. But suddenly when it was dark at noonday, no one had any jokes left. The Roman soldiers who were trained to take that flagellum with its bitter leather tongs and pieces of iron, and at the very tips there were those pieces of sheep bone. They were filed down like an eagle's talon. Those beads to bruise that flesh, and then those talons to pull, to rip and to tear. Now there are those.
And it was for our healing and Isaiah for our deliverance and our freedom and our salvation.
Isaiah 53, wounded for your transgressions, mm-hmm. bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. Some look to the cross and they're angry, but some of us, I believe you, we look, and there we lay our burdens down, and we live. there at the cross, we exchanged our death for his life. The wages of sin was death. That laid upon him, not that we should bear it, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to everyone who simply believes.
You know, I'm really praying, Rod, that people will get your book and read it, because it points so clearly to the power and the importance of the cross. But if you hear it and you don't respond to it, then you miss the gift of grace, of forgiveness and salvation that God offers you. He is reaching out to you. I love the billboard that was across much of the nation years ago that said, "How much does God love me?" And he stretched out his hands and said, "I love you this much." Our own son, when he was a little boy, was moved by that. Now the father of four beautiful children. He wondered, he asked me, "Why did they do that to Jesus?" When he was just a little boy, I said, "Because God loved us."
Yes.
"And Jesus died for us, for you." That's the message of the cross. Do you all appreciate Rod pointing to the importance of the cross? The book is wonderfully written. As you can hear, Rod, when he's breathing, he's preaching. He breathes messages. The cross has captivated him, because it's because of the cross that he found life, found a future. And he wants you to know the Christ of the cross. That's what we all want. That's really why we're here. Rod, we so believe in the love of God through the cross that we want the whole world to know.
Yes.
One of the most beautiful things that, you know, Jesus said, "If you give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward." One of the most exciting things we do is give people water.
Amen.
For life, so we can tell them about the water of life, literally about the power of the cross. But people don't really tend to believe in the love of God until they see it expressed.
Yes.
And when you give them water for life, they're anxious to hear about the water of life that inspired that love. I want you to listen to a man. This is the last week right now for you to have an opportunity to help us in this emphasis to drill 500 more freshwater wells and see people's lives changed and pointed to Christ. Listen to the heart of this man, because we offer the answer. Please listen closely.
Cambodia's history is a rich one, but 1975 brought four of its darkest years imaginable. Cities were emptied and innocent millions murdered as a maniacal dictator tried to reset Cambodia to what he called Year Zero. Families were torn apart and lives left in ruin. Recovery has not come easy. Samnung remembers. His whole family was killed and everything lost. Today, in this land, the suffering continues. Families are torn apart and lives left in ruin. But no longer from communism or dictatorship. It's waterborne diseases.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Once again, Sam Nung risked losing his whole family, but this time to waterborne diseases. How can you forget your past when you aren't promised a future?
Well, his family taken by what was called historically the killing fields. I don't really know if we could have done anything about that. Maybe sometimes you wonder if intervention would have been possible. But this little girl, I love my little girl, he said. We love our little girls.
That never changes for a parent, you know. We love our children. We would give our lives for our children. And just to hear that man still, after a while, he still feels that loss. And I think a lot of that is because he doesn't see any hope. He doesn't have anything to reach on to grab hold of. No hope. Well, you see, if we can do the water wells, we can be part of the hope that he's looking for. He wants somebody to care that he's hurting. And his family is dying without our help. So I hope you will join with us. And let's give this man some hope for his family.
And Betty, I'm confident that I'm looking into the hearts, homes, and eyes of people all over the world who identify with very real, very legitimate hurt. I don't have to try to stir it in your heart. God put it there. And I want to thank you. You don't have any idea what it means to Betty and me to point to a need that can be met and know that we're talking to people who are anxious, who say, count me in. You say to Sam Nung, hey, we're getting you a well. I'm getting you a well. I want to get one in the village next to you. We want to save the little girls of your friends and your neighbors. I thank God for you. Betty, I'm so encouraged by our viewers. And you know the national boundaries don't limit their love. No barrier, no ocean. People just say love reaches all the way across the ocean. Here we are in the United States, and down from Canada there's an outpouring of love, and from down under in Australia reaching up with love to say let's put God's arms around those people. Let's give them water. And let's tell them about the water of life. So I want you to dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. This is the last week. Listen to me. If you can give a well, I know you're running to do it. Write a check. Make it to Life. The wells are costing still an average of $4,800. You may say, oh, I wish I could do that. I can't do it all, but I could give half a well and pray someone joins me, or $1,200 and pray three do. But please listen. If you can do that, do it. But remember this, most of the support comes from people who give $48 to give 10 people water, or $144 to give 30. Don't you think your gift is small when the effect is so great? Please, during this last week now, go to the phone, use your bank card like a check, you write a check, make it to Life, or go online, lifetoday.org, and you can make your gift right there. We have some very special gifts for you. This DVD series, Awaken Now Conference, the transcripts will bless you. The beautiful glass artwork, the blessing, it will bless you as you bless others. We want to say thank you. Please make that call and make the gift God put on your heart. You really are giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life, and you're giving it in love.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with the companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Don't order them if you don't want to be changed. Because it will change your life.
If you're wondering about how can you make an impact and what is it going to take and why aren't things changing, this Awaken series is absolutely going to fill in all those blanks.
If you are a believer, you need to hear what has been said at this conference.
Amen. Absolutely.
It is a now word.
A now word. Time.
That's a good way to put it. It's a now word.
Amen.
I really hope you'll ask for this beautiful glass sculpture. You can display this in various areas, and the light just illuminates. And I just see this little child he's blessing. You know, some may say, well, he's reaching out to get a blessing. I don't know. I think I see him reaching out to offer a blessing. Either way, God is the one who provides. If you would like to have a copy of Rod Parsley's book, The Cross, I'm telling you, it is powerfully written. The wonderful vocabulary and eloquent communication Rod has reminds me of a great Baptist preacher, was known as the Prince of Preachers, R.G. Lee. And I wonder if Rod's been kind of listening to him, the way he's able to use these words. I almost have to get a dictionary to follow along. What he did here, this is written with such power. We'll gladly send it to you. It is in the bookstores. You can find it there. But join Betty and me in saying thanks to God for Rod Parsley and his ministry. Rod, bless you, buddy. God bless the church. Bless everything God has called you to put your hand to. And again, we thank you for putting God's arms of love literally around a hurting world. Thank you.
Tomorrow, television and movie star Kevin Sorbo describes his terrifying wake-up call.
I apologize to God. I think the biggest thing was trying to forgive myself.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.